Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Our world is in dire need of godly men and women with the wisdom to lead. What can we learn about praying for wisdom from Solomon's example? Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah shares an eye-opening profile of the wisest man who ever lived and the value of passionately pursuing the gift of godly wisdom. Let's listen now as David introduces his special message, A Prayer for Wisdom.
Well, here we are. It's the last day of July. We have completed our study on the subject of heaven. Well, today we're going to talk about what it means to pray for wisdom. Now, friends, wisdom, someone told me once, is doing the right thing without a precedent. And have we ever lived in such unprecedented times? I've prayed more for the wisdom of God in the last 6 to 8 weeks than I can ever remember in all of my life, because every day it seemed like there was something happening and I didn't know what to do. God is always available to us, and I want to share with you this prayer that Solomon prayed at the outset of his leadership tenure, and how he prayed for wisdom, what he did pray for, what he didn't pray for, and how God answered him. It's a good model for all of us as we face unprecedented times. So here from the Old Testament is Solomon's prayer for wisdom. One of the greatest definitions I ever heard of wisdom is this definition. Wisdom is doing the right thing when you have never faced the thing before in your life. Wisdom is doing the right thing when things are unprecedented. And today I want to talk with you about what we do when we face moments like that. Solomon prayed, "Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" In this passage of Scripture, he uses the word discern, and discernment and wisdom are almost synonymous in their meaning. How many of you know that in our world today, there doesn't seem to be a lot of discernment? There doesn't seem to be a lot of wisdom. And how many of you know we could stand a little of it in our world today and in our own lives? So I want to talk with you about this prayer for wisdom. And the first part of it is found in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verses 3 through 9. Let's go back to the beginning and let's retell the story of Solomon from the very outset. In verse 3 of the third chapter, we read, "Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he had sacrificed and burned incense at the high places." Now Solomon went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said to him, "Solomon, ask, what shall I give you? Solomon, tell me what your need is. Ask me for what you need most in your life." And Solomon answered, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, and I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, God, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this people of yours?" The interesting thing about this prayer, first of all, is the humility of it. Solomon said, "Lord God, I'm just a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in." He confessed his own personal inadequacy. How many of you know that before you can get the wisdom of God, you got to get rid of your own wisdom, in so many words? That doesn't mean you go dumb. it means that you stop trusting in your wisdom so you can trust in God's wisdom. And so often that never happens in our lives. We get so full up of ourselves. We get all caught up in our education. We think we know the answers, and quite often we don't know what the question is. And the thing about Solomon that grabs hold of you when you first begin to read about his prayer is his incredible humility. He realized that he needed help. He realized that he was not sufficient to do what God had called him to do. I've noticed in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New, that a man or a woman who is on the threshold of a great assignment from God is warned. In the Old Testament, the warning goes like this: do not be wise in your own eyes. And in the New Testament, it sounds similar: do not be wise in your own opinions. One of the best forecasts of the success of Solomon is that he saw the magnitude of what God wanted him to do, and he realized that he was not sufficient for it himself. It is not diminishing or depreciating, no matter who we are, to stand before God or kneel before God and confess that we need his help. It is when we get caught up in our own sufficiency that we usually are on the road to mistakes that hurt us and others. So the greatest demonstration of Solomon's early wisdom was his deep awareness that he still had much to learn. He was not your typical know-it-all young leader. Solomon knew he was inadequate for such a great leadership challenge. So he went to the city of Gibeon, north of Jerusalem, and offered sacrifices to Almighty God. And his humility is followed in his prayer by his honesty. He says, "Lord God, give to your servant an understanding heart that I might discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Use your imagination for a moment and try to imagine Solomon's ascension to Israel's throne in the reflected glory of his father's own popularity and unprecedented achievements. Solomon offers sacrifices to God, and God asks the newly crowned Solomon to make a request. Can you imagine having that moment with God? God speaking to you and say, "Tell me what you want. Tell me whatever you want." What would you have chosen? Solomon had the choice of 1,000 lifetimes. And he chose the gift of wisdom because he knew, as we shall see, that in wisdom were 1,000 lifetimes. And the history behind this prayer is unique. I have to cover this quickly. But Solomon, like all of us, did not come to this moment in his life out of a vacuum. He had been prepared along the way, unknown to him, by Almighty God. God, in his own wisdom and sovereignty, had been preparing Solomon for such a moment. Long before Solomon was even born or conceived, the Bible says that God prophesied blessing upon him. "Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all of his enemies, and his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days, and he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." Listen to me, that blessing over Solomon took place before Solomon was ever born. And then when Solomon was born, there was another blessing. We read that Bathsheba bore a son and called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved Solomon, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan to the prophet. They called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. And then after Solomon was born, God pointed him in the right direction. When King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced." And David prayed for God's blessing upon Solomon. In 1 Chronicles 29:19, he said, "Give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, and to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. And then God poured out a blessing on this young man. So the Lord exalted Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him. So you see Solomon as a 20-year-old boy standing before Almighty God in Gibeon, and God says to him, Solomon, ask me anything. Ask me what you want, what you need in your new role. And you don't see all of this other information we just shared with you, how God was bringing him along and preparing him. He was not just a precocious young boy who happened to say the right thing. He was the young man God had prepared for this moment. And when his moment came, he prayed for wisdom. And the Bible tells us that he got what he asked for. The scripture teaches us in more than one place that the provision of wisdom for Solomon was abundant. In verse 10 through 13 in 1 Kings 3, we read that the speech pleased the Lord, Solomon's prayer. And the Lord said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, and have not asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words, and I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, and neither shall there be anyone like you after you. Solomon became a one of a kind, a man that God singularly blessed. So that the scripture says, up until his time, there was no one like him. And after his time, there was no one like him. He prayed for wisdom, and he got everything he asked for. And as we shall see, a whole lot more. Now, the Bible tells us he became the wisest man on the earth. And his wisdom is tested in more ways than one. In fact, I have only time to share with you a few of the things that illustrate what happened in his life. What does it look like when a man becomes the wisest man who ever lived? Well, Solomon had prayed that prayer, and it wasn't long after the prayer was prayed that a problem came before Solomon, and he proved, first of all, his ability to solve problems. Immediately following the record of his prayer, we have this record of his first major decision as a king. It's one of the great stories of the Bible, but let me review it for you in case you have forgotten some of the details. A situation arose in which there were no witnesses, just two contestants. Two prostitutes lived together as roommates, and they came to Solomon's court with a dispute over a baby. The two women had given birth 3 days apart. And one of them said to Solomon, during the night, this woman rolled over on her baby and smothered him. And then she got up while I was sleeping, and she came and stole my baby. And the other woman told Solomon a contradictory story. The living baby was hers, and the dead baby belonged to her roommate. And nobody knew anything about the situation but the two women. And they came before the king. Under the law, everything is confirmed by two or three witnesses, but there is no evidence except for the testimony of the two parties in contention. And since the science of DNA was 30 centuries in the future, Solomon had nothing to go by. And what is he going to do? Watch him in action. He turns to some of those who are standing with him, and he says, bring me a sword. And the sword was brought, and Solomon said, cut the baby in half and give each woman one half of the baby. And someone has said, would Solomon really have done that? Of course not. He was collecting evidence. And as soon as he gave his orders, one woman said, yes, kill the baby, give each of us half of the child. But the other woman said, no, don't kill the baby. Let her have the child, and pointed to her adversary. And Solomon had his evidence. He knew what to do. He gave the verdict: give the baby to the woman who prefers to lose the child rather than to see it killed. She is without question the real mother. And Solomon's decision on that day spread throughout the kingdom like wildfire, almost with the speed of the internet before there was anything such as that ever conceived. In fact, it says in 1 Kings 3:28, all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. How many of you know when you see God at work in a person's life, it's an awesome thing to behold? When you know and you watch and you see someone do something that's totally without precedent, totally outside of the box, totally like you couldn't believe this would ever happen, and it is right and it's good, and you see how it's honored by the result, you know God is in it. And it's awesome. It's awesome to see God at work. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever watched that? Have you ever felt it? Have you ever experienced it? On that day, the wisdom of God that was given in response to Solomon's prayer took root in his spirit, and he made this audacious decision, and it changed the whole kingdom because people heard of it, and they had never heard of anything like that before. It wasn't the only evidence of God's incredible giftedness of Solomon. He was one of the first naturalists in the world. His apprehension of nature was another one of God's gifts to him. The Bible tells all about how he understood all of the birds. He was an ornithologist. He knew all about the way God worked in his created universe. And he was an architectural genius. If you go to Israel today and you talk to the people of Israel for very long, they will talk to you with pride in their hearts about the Temple of Solomon and their desire someday to see a temple rebuilt on the Mount. The Temple of Solomon was built in a 7-year period of time, and it was at its time one of the 7 wonders of the world. And every time we pick up the Bible, we have another evidence of Solomon's wisdom. If you open the Bible to its center, you run into a book called Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon. If you look a little around it, you'll find the Song of Solomon, his love story. And there's the book of Ecclesiastes, which is Solomon's journal. And if you keep reading and you keep studying, you discover that Solomon was the author of the Proverbs, of the Song of Solomon, of Ecclesiastes. He wrote Psalm 72. He wrote Psalm 127. And the Bible tells us that he was the author of 3,000 Proverbs. And we only have 915 of them. Where the other 2,000 went, I have no idea. But he wrote them. 915 were collected for us in the book of Proverbs. So he was an incredible man, filled with wisdom in ways beyond anything we can imagine. And the Bible says that because Solomon did not ask for riches and wealth, God gave it to him anyway, so that he became not only the most wise of all the kings of history, but the most wealthy as well. And God honored him in his life until the very end of his life, when he decided to be wise in his own eyes. And when he took his eyes off of God, he ended his human life on this earth in disaster. But when he was walking with God, Solomon had the wisdom of God operating in his life. So you may be wondering, as you hear me speak today, if God is still in the habit of granting answers to prayers like that. And I want to tell you that in the New Testament, there is a wonderful verse that goes like this in the book of James. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Notice the first part of the verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, once again, before you can get God's wisdom, you have to understand that you need it. You have to have enough humility to know you're not as smart as you think you are. You have to be willing to say, Lord God, I lack wisdom. And if you don't have any problems in your life right now that are big enough for you to make that prayer, just hang on, one is coming. Because God delights to put us in situations where we can't look around, we can't look forward, we can't look back. All we can do is look up. And when we look up, we see the God of the universe standing there as he did before Solomon and saying, if any of you lack wisdom, come and ask of God. There's a statement from our Lord that emphatically answers the question, is God available to help us today? In referring to the visit of the Queen of Sheba, who came to visit Solomon to check out whether he was as wise as everybody said he was, the Lord Jesus said this, the Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Now listen to this. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. And we know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the judgment, the Queen of Sheba is going to stand up and she's going to rail against Christians, because while she came as far as she could from the end of the earth to find the wisdom of Solomon, we have someone greater than Solomon, and he's right here. He's a prayer away. He's a breath away. While she came from such a distance to search out the wisdom of Solomon, we don't even take the time to ask God for the wisdom we need, and he's as available to us in every situation. When we're facing difficult issues and we don't know what to do, let us remember what we do know. We know that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And Jesus Christ lives within us if we've accepted him as our Savior. And he has promised that he will give to us his guidance through the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you in these days of unprecedented living that the answer to your life and to mine, the answer to our nation, to our community, to our schools, to our church, is not our best ideas. The answer is our humility and our honesty before God.
Oh, how we need his wisdom. I love what James said. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give to all abundantly, and he won't scold us for coming. Oh, how we need that promise, and how wonderful it is when we take advantage of it. Well, we finished the month of July having studied the subject of heaven. So from all of us here at Turning Point, let me just say thank you. Thank you for standing with us as we have shared the Word of God during this pandemic. May God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on this good station.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's message, A Prayer for Wisdom, visit our website where we offer two free ways to help you stay connected, our monthly magazine Turning Points and our daily email devotional. Sign up today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. When you do, ask for your copy of David's book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, to be better informed about your eternal home. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard and New International versions, as well as in standard or large print in the New King James, loaded with helpful notes and articles by Dr. Jeremiah. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us Monday as we begin the series, How to Be Happy According to Jesus. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.